SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very calm and relaxed and more sedate and more normal, if we can use that word, Santa Anita this morning, and a calm after the storm, perhaps. Rick Hammerly, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Click. I think you got to get that baby popped up.
Good morning.
No, we're still not. What's going on with you? One more time.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
What the hell is going on here? Hold on, something that's strange. Well, you know why? That's that. This is the Radio 101 on my part because I didn't plug the mic in.
You know, you learn as a kid. Well, the toaster doesn't work. Well, you say check the plug, and guess what? 99% of the time, it's a plug. Anyway, you described it perfectly. And as you're looking west, I'm looking east at the classic. Right before the sunrise scene with the palm trees silhouetted against the morning sky. And this is it. There's nothing better than this. And like you said, Steve, it's a little bit calmer. Everyone's a little bit relieved. Had a great weekend of racing. And it was just great. Now, for me, my morning usually is made on what happens on the radio on the way in. If I put on some sports, and then when I click over to my music stations, if it works, it works. Today was just a killer day on the way in. Classic version of Must Have Been the Roses from the Grateful Dead, which is one of those songs when you're by yourself in the car, you can scream as loud as you want to it. But I heard a great song for you, for the show, coming along. First Edition, obviously, with Kenny Rogers. Just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Well,
I'm sure you've played it.
Well, we play the Sharon Jones version, the Dap Kicks.
So
absolutely, it's tremendous.
So that made the ride even better.
There you go.
Anyway, it's all good. What a great, not just a great weekend around the country. More importantly, a great weekend here at Santa Anita and Arcadia. Safe races, but just Saturday was what it's all about. The show was on here, and if you're a racing fan and you didn't like the races on Saturday, well, guess what? You're in the wrong place. This was tremendous. The crowd was good. They came what was billed. The horses that we wanted to see ran thrilling races, you know, and some interesting results, but which we'll go through later. But just a good on track day. The feeling got better and better as the day went on. You know, it was
exactly.
Kind of a little quiet early. People kind of watching around,
a little tentative,
making sure things were good. And then once the racing kicked in, and their minds could get on what we were here for, watching races, betting on races, and having friends with their friends, then the day just really ramped up as we went along.
Very much, and I actually described it the exact same way with Seth Merrow yesterday on OTB when he checked in for a recap, and I thought the same thing. There was momentum, and as the day really started to roll, the moment, Rick, that seemed to kind of galvanize everybody and sort of clear the fog of trepidation and concern was Bellafina. Bellafina's win really kind of just refocused everybody's attention on horse racing and what's out in front of you and how special a big performance is. And, you know, she obviously overwhelmed an overmatched field. However, the way she did it, and she was wide every step of the way. Flavian Pratt, the four wide into the turn, three wide all the way on the backstretch, and then ultimately when she... at the top of the lane here when she basically motored past and just cantered down. It's funny, she reminds me a little bit, not stylistically per se, but Monomoy girl from last year where you kept thinking, well, she's good, but I don't know how good. I'm not going to be surprised this time around when if Bellafina goes to Kentucky and wins the Oaks, you know, well, I'm not going to be completely surprised by that. I don't think I have to go trying to invent ways to push her down the, you know, down the list.
I think you're right about that. When you have a grade one race early in the card, and obviously this was done because of the smaller field size, but when you see a grade one horse go by early, I think that kind of gets the crowd going. She's supposed to win. She won easy. She won big. And it's like, I think it got people's attention to why we're here. Now, you say she went four wide. There was only four horses in the race, so it wasn't, you know, it didn't make it sound like there was tremendous traffic and she was,
no,
you know. But she was wide, and she got to take advantage of a semi-speed duel by the two Baffert horses who went out. Thought maybe the one horse Florida Lamar would get out on a little easier lead and maybe have something left in the lane. But when her stablemate came up alongside there chasing yesterday, it just really set things up. And when you're on the best horses, you know, going four wide, that's the safest way around. Stay out of trouble. And,
yeah.
You know, he was on a Cadillac, and Flavien Prat got his first stake win of the day.
Well, and you know, it's funny you say the two Baffert horses and two horses, kind of the order of the day in a lot of ways, because Simon Callahan later runs 1-2 in the Providencia. Baffert, of course, to get to the couple of the features off the top here, and of course, so much to cover between the three venues and the Bluegrass, the Wood, and the features here. But obviously, the Santa Anita Derby, the big cap actually ended up being, I don't know if it's the better, if it was a better race per se than the Derby, but we'll get to it. And Giftbox's win over McKinsey, really terrific and exciting. But the Santa Anita Derby ended up being, I'll call it a mild surprise, just because Roadster's manner, the way he won, was more surprising than the fact that he did win. And Mike Smith basically wrangling Roadster back and then letting things unfold in front of him and then having, you know, the confidence to, you know, to move when he moved. And he corrals his stablemate and game winner now, 0-2 on the year, the two-year-old champion, but ran well again. And Baffert seemed unperturbed by it, suggesting maybe that, you know, by the time Roadster arrived, Rosario and game winner, you know, hadn't really expected company at that point after putting away Instagram, who, as Dan Ward told you, was sitting on a race and ran very well. I don't think he's a mile and a quarter horse or even necessarily a mile and an eighth horse, but he absolutely ran very credibly again, and he's going to have a good three-year-old year, Instagram. Maybe Larry Best was crazy like a fox when it came to kind of holding him back for 6 months.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having a nice three-year-old the second part of the year, which we talked about. Interestingly enough, ran into Dan Ward on the way here 10 minutes ago on the way up the stairs. First thing he said was, as you know, we had him on the show last week. He goes, hey, that was all right. He goes, you guys are good luck. I said, yeah, it's not a one-time deal. And Mark Glatz here, too, we had on. He won a few races over the weekend as well. But he did stop me, and he said, you know, if Instagram, they moved him over to Los Alamitos just to get away from the fray over here, and he'd worked over there. He told me if he was able to work here on the training track, he'd have been a much fitter, and it would have been a much different race. So they're still high on Instagram. So don't put a line through him later on in the year at all.
Not at all.
And you know, we talked at length here about the Roadster / game winner situation. How game winner was in. Nothing to worry about. No real pick-me-up needed for him. Just to keep him on his level, level best. He didn't need to be at his best on Saturday. Well, on the other hand, Roadster did because he went in there with 0 points.
Right.
You know, he needed
the justify scenario from a year ago.
It's the same thing. And I swear, this is what makes Baffert so unbelievable, how he can you know, turn him on and off, so to speak. But when you saw Smith take Roadster back, almost with a wry smile on his face, like, okay, here's what we're going to do today, and then was coming down the lane. You're going, wow, who's that remind me of? And I went, oh, it reminds me of Mike Smith. It was just kind of, you know, kind of crazy, but, you know, and got there in time. So big smile on Bob's face as he walked down the steps to get to the winner's circle, almost like, haha, just how we planned it. Right? I mean, and now he's got another, oh, by the way, another one coming up next week, this week, next week, whatever, on this Saturday coming up. Improbable.
Improbable in the Arkansas Derby, which actually right now doesn't have... It's got about seven confirmed, and it's going to be interesting to see some decisions, including from Blaine Wright. And, you know, I want to keep it orderly to some degree, but we can hit the high. Let's hit the highlights on the three-year-old scene. So those that don't have a reset on where things ended up, then we'll come back to the big cap and everything else that went on here. And we're going to talk to George Weaver in about a half an hour. Tacoma, Tacit. I combined Tacitus and Vekoma. Vekoma wins the bluegrass, and George looks very clever, bypassing the Florida Derby and giving Vekoma the extra week to prepare. And he wins the bluegrass, and never have you seen a horse parading down the lane, Rick, with people completely aghast at the way in which he looked coming down the lane, because the legs are going in every which direction. I can't wait to talk to George, and you know, he'll tell you everything you need to know about the action. Vekoma swims his way to the wire, and Mrs. Weber and Michael Trombetta with Win, who had plenty of trouble early and in the middle of the race, and then when he got untracked, comes running, picks off second, wins his way or places his way to the Derby. And so Live Oak, the familiar white jacket and the red dots and those black sleeves, back in the Derby and happy for Mrs. Weber. You know, those two move on and in good shape, and everybody else basically on the outside, including Signal Man, who was, you know, a good enough third. And then, of course, in New York, Tacitus follows up his good Tampa Bay Derby win with the win in the Wood. And similarly, the way George Weaver nicely managed Vekoma to this win and to the Derby, how about Danny Gargan? Absolutely perfect with Tax, and Tax ran a very good race to be second, and he gets to go as well to Derby. So the three features for the three-year-olds set up an interesting board, and we'll get to the numbers in a minute. Some thoughts, Rick, about everything else that we saw.
Well, let's go back to Vekoma. We talked obviously about that race. I mean, I personally didn't see a horse that could beat him in there, and interesting situation with the odds, which we've heard from frequently, but was about 3-1 when it seemed to me when they were going into the gate, and all of us made a little wager on him, you know, nice wager on him that we were with, and lo and behold, pays 480 when it's all said and done. So, you know, very, I don't want to take away from the action, but when I was sitting behind the desk and hearing people talk about this, of course you see it, and, you know, some of it you can't believe until you actually watch the whole, you know, the odds on the screen when they're, you know, 8-1 going in, they come out at 9-2, but, you know, when you're involved in it, it really hits home, and yeah. I know, all this talk about, oh, we got to do something, we can't do anything. We need to look at, the game needs to look at something like this. It happens over and over and over, much too much, and goes back to not having a body, a commissioning body that can rule. Because what happens in things like this, you get 8 out of 10 groups say we'll do it, and the other two say, we're going to do whatever we want. I mean, as far as shutting down the tote at a certain time, and here's what we're going to allow and not allow. But this, being on the outside now looking, I see it time and time again, and that bothered me. And one other thing that bothers me about that race and a couple of the other feature races at Keeneland is you go all day, and now here comes the feature, and everyone's got the number two horse saddle towel on them. And bothers me that you can't.
You've complained about this for years.
Well, I've complained about this for years, and I will say it was part of the solution of it, the Breeders' Cup.
Getting, you're the one who forced it to happen.
Who grinded that through.
Yep.
And here we go on the biggest day of the year there, on a race that's watched more than any other race of the day. And unless you see your horse out of the gate and follow him literally all the way around, you haven't known who won. Hey, I had it. It was a two. Who went second? I think the two. but in the, and you can't read. You can't even read the numbers on there. So that was very bothersome. But I tell you what, you couldn't mistake Vekoma coming down the lane. That's for sure.
Unbelievable.
A lot of gas, especially being here in Santa Anita watching the action coming down the lane. But you mentioned George did a great job. We said, you know what? He knows what to do with a good horse. And I got to say, he looked pretty cool in those Foster Grants down there after the race. So we'll talk to George later, but that was great. Now, you go over to New York with Tacitus. To me, that was the most, was the best performance of the three because of what he had to go through coming out of the gate and again into the turn with the trouble. To have the wherewithal to be gathered up. Jose Ortiz did a wonderful job. Sometimes you see horses like that, they'll just not have it. But he kept him in the race, and Tax ran a huge one, which we talked about. The third mile and eighth race in a row, he was fit, he was okay. And Tass is just a professional ride and a professional performance by him, similar to the race in Tampa Bay a little bit, just in the fact that he kind of grinded him down. He really impressed me. So, I mean, Belmont's got to be smiling ear to ear just going into the Derby with a fresh, good horse. And the top three, I think, are going to the Derby in there, from what I understand. Heikal is made a late run.
Oh, yeah, Heikal's good. Heikal's in good shape.
And he's going to go. So the top three from there. I think the top three from Keeneland,
yeah,
right?
Signal Man is sitting, and let's do this. Let's look at this, because Tacitus obviously up to the top with the two wins, the 100 points and the 50 at Tampa. Vekoma, Plus Que Parfait, Roadster, By My Standards, Maximum Security, Game Winner, Code of Honor, Heikal, War of Will, Long Range Toddy, Tax, 52, Cutting Humor, 50 out of the Sunland, win up to 50. Gray Magician, and we will talk to Peter Miller, who got Spiced Perfection home and went berserk in the nobody celebrates like Peter Miller when Spiced Perfection. That was a terrific effort in the Madison, a thriller in the Madison. Peter, apparently they're going forward with Gray Magician.
I had a feeling. We mentioned it last week when we were down at Wharton. Hey,
he's already went a mile and 316. So people saying, oh, he's not a mile and a quarter horse. What are you talking about? He's got to go another 110 yards.
Exactly. And you get a chance. Peter's not, quote, a Derby-type trainer. You get a shot like this in a year like this, you're in. You go.
Well, Gray Magician, 41. Now here's where it's going to get interesting between Spinoff, Bodie Express, Signal Man, Omaha Beach. Now, of course, Spinoff, Bodie Express and Signal Man, they're not running. They're locked in terms of
I mean,
their
they're
points.
Not they're not running again,
right,
to get more points.
And Omaha Beach, of course, is running. He's 19th with 37.5, and he's running Saturday at Arkansas. So he needs to be in the super to absolutely lock in. Bourbon War is sitting, and before we get to Bourbon War, let's also tell people that Master Fencer, the Japanese point program leader, he has accepted the Derby invitation, and so they're coming. Kochi Tsunada, who was a trainer, was a jockey in Japan before becoming a trainer, they're coming. And there's also the race at Chelmsford on Thursday for the Euro program, and we'll find out if the Euro slot is going to be taken, which will then take away a berth to, a domestic horse. Bourbon War, 31. He's got to sit and wait. Then Instagram, 30. Another Twist of Fate, 30. Country House is running at Arkansas, 30. Sueno, 28.
He'll be running, I believe, in Arkansas as well.
I would think so. Improbable running, 25. Mucho Gusto, 24. But I don't think he's doing anything. And Outshine, who disappointed on Saturday at the Wood, with 20, and then everybody else, anybody that's going to participate in the Arkansas Derby is going to be, you know, is well, got you, a winner.
You left out one that we know is going to run and we know is looking to get in, and that's Galilean.
Oh, Galilean, that's true.
Who's down at 7.5
that's right.
points.
He's got just a handful
So he needs to run one, too, for sure. But it looks here, Steve, with what do we have, 100, 40, and 20 and, points-wise, and
140, 10? 140,
20, 10. So if you've got Country House, you got Omaha Beach, you've got Improbable, you've got Galilean, and you've got Gray Attempt, I believe, is going in there as well. So they're going to knock, could knock a couple horses. If Omaha Beach wins some more, that's not going to affect anything because at the moment he's already in. But Bourbon War with 31 is going to need a little help. And let's talk about another Twist of Fate. I think he's in Keeneland now. Is that correct?
He was still at Sunland as of the other day.
Okay, I thought I read where he's at.
Has he?
So, yeah, I thought I read where he's at Keeneland. Either way, he's got a dilemma, if you ask me. I mean, remember, he has an invitation to the Preakness. He's in the Preakness right now. So you're wondering if they're thinking, is it worth trying to jam in another race that they weren't really planning on to try and get to the Derby? Or do you wait a little bit, go in the Tessio or run in Lexington with the idea of going to the Preakness because they got a freebie? So, interesting stuff. The points have really played a purpose in here. And once again, we talked about it. These horses don't run as much as they used to. And if you don't make it, guess what? There's nobody's fault but your own.
I'm very interesting. You're right about going ahead and getting to Keeneland. And I'll tell you where I found this story. The San Francisco Chronicle. Writing a couple of pieces.
Must be Larry Stooms.
Larry Stooms, exactly right. Good job. The Chronicle at least covering. That's great. We'll check in with Blaine and see what is, you know, as the week goes on and how, you know, how he's gonna just other horses might pass he's gonna see.
He'd have to finish second. Well, maybe he could get 40 points. You get third. If he goes to the Lexington. He's going to Lexington. And that's 20 to the winner, I believe.
And eight to runner up. So,
interesting.
Yeah. All right.
Larry Stooms. Now, he was around when I was up there a long time ago. You know, beat writer, good guy. And he's got a little story behind him. I guess he worked for the Chronicle the whole time. Or maybe the Examiner. I don't know. But years ago, he got off horse racing, and they made him do football for a couple years. And, you know, it's one of those things where, who's Larry like? The Rams? Okay, we'll take the Seahawks. Who's Larry like? It just, we went through a bad time there in the thing. And for years, if you go back, and then I think he kind of morphed him out of football. But he's been there for a long time. But it was the old get the paper. Who's Larry like?
Go the other way
for a while there. It's pretty funny. Good guy, though.
I love it. Well, there's your three-year-old picture. And as we head to the break, actually, Case, we could probably step away before we get out of control. And George Weaver's going to join us in a little bit. We are going to talk to Joe Orsino, and I did that for you because Joe, everybody's favorites, and he has got that imprimis that we had discussed, you know, when he had that breakout performance, now 7 for 9, and his effort in the Shaker Town was a jaw-dropper. To say the least. Johnny D, of course, top of the hour. We'll talk to Johnny, and it'll be like he's sitting right here. Johnny usually positioned himself right in the corner by the Clocker's Corner portico, and we're going to pretend that Johnny's right here with us. Couple of other highlights, and we'll have live visits today. Baffert will be by later in the Baffert slot, as we call it, to talk about Roadster and game winner and looking ahead to Saturday. And John Sadler. We might save Sadler with Costa Aronis. I absolutely want them on. Let's talk for a minute going out to the break here. Giftbox's performance, and Gary Young said he preferred McKenzie slightly, and that's exactly all it took, slightly.
That's true. Now, that was, you know, this was Derby Day in people's minds because it's April and it's Derby Day. But, of course, they never had a big cap day here this year. So put it on this day, and you got what you came for, to see those two races. Now, on that stretch drive, when I was the other one I referred to, who does that remind me of when it was Mike Smith? Joel Rosario. For those of you who didn't grow up in Southern California and enjoy Lafitte Pinkhai Jr. Muscling horses home, whether it was the first on a Thursday or the feature on a Saturday, that was a Lafitte Pinkhai-esque performance by Joel Rosario to get Giftbox up. That was a tremendous stretch duel, and you know, it really reminds you that's what our game's about. You know, it was fun to watch and see the crowd cheering one way or the other, or just cheering because it was a great race. And I think they forgot about everything for that 15, 20 seconds down the lane. And if anything brought reality back to why we're in this game, that was it right there, stretch run.
It was perfect, and it built, you know, it sort of also justified the placement of the races, you know, that the big cap was in that. And, of course, the Santa Anita Derby had to be on for TV, for NBC, and this was the perfect, you know, way to send everybody. There was, of course, the one race afterward, the Mandela with United in the turf allowance, but that, of course, also brought out a nice payday in the Rainbow Six Force Out, $52,000, and the key to that was Simon Callahan winning a photo with his other horse, both of his horses, Hostess and Maxim Rate, in the Providencia at 25-1, and that really put the spurs. And United was happy. You know, he was my value play, United. But you needed a clever ticket to cash for $52,000. Plenty of that stuff to discuss. Let's take a quick break. So much to cover here. There were some other non-stake performances that need to be noted as well, particularly at Keeneland. Let's take a break, Hammer and I. Santa Anita, day one of recap. Back after this, the Santa Anita.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Right now, and it really does feel this on this Monday with Rick Amerley. We're here at Santa Anita, and I'll be honest, Wednesday and Thursday, wading into the action and getting ready and having to be obligated, you know, to cover and to wade through the miasma of the situation here that led up to this weekend. It was arduous, and nothing like a big weekend of racing to just clear the head and clear the hair and make everybody, make everybody, as you said, Rick, remind them why they're here. And that part of it really feels good this morning, and just a little bit of relief. And you hope that it builds momentum and going forward.
Right. A lot of tension,
yeah.
Just in the mornings, and then more so in the afternoon. But I really, like I said, I felt it break when they hit the wire for that photo in the big cap. On a personal note, for me, that was my first day back to the races anywhere, and especially here to come back. kind of nervous. I don't know why. Just coming back into the unknown. It was funny. My biggest worry was, where am I going to park? So I have had a parking place here for so long. So I reverted back to my old days.
Back to your youth.
I came in, I parked in the infield where I used to, 100 times. Walked in, spent a little time out there, talked to some people, and walked over to the front side and got right back into it. But it was strange, but it got a warm welcome from most people.
Oh, God,
For myself, that's why I had to get back into it as well, and that's what we're here for. Just a tremendous, tremendous day, tremendous place, and like you say out here, you can tell it's a Monday. You know, you can always tell kind of what day of the week it is by looking at the crowd at Clocker's Corner. Most of the regulars are here, but not too many people wandering in, coming in for breakfast that aren't horse people, which is fine with me. And some of the management that was here last week has put me a little bit on edge, I got to admit, looking down there, certain folks. But they're not here today, and it's a beautiful morning, and what can I tell you? The sun, now that we're here, we hit that stage again where it went from using the flashlights on the iPhones to poof, put them away, the sun's up.
Exactly. And a couple of notes to kind of tie all the racing together. I got to mention the latest success by Basilica. Wins again, and for a while she was all bottled up. This was in the Royal Heroine, and of course there was also Royal Heroine had Ms. Bad Behavior blow that turn, Rick, and that was really weird. And Smith kind of gathered her up. He jumped off. He looked her. He looked. You were watching on the Binox, and he looked her over, and then he started to walk her around. And she was obviously fine, but very strange. She just kind of blew the turn.
Well, obviously, you've been facing Basilica all these times again, and I don't know. Did she just say, I'm done. I'm pulling up, taking the exit over here. And, of course, she was fine coming off. But how about that filly? We talked to Dan earlier in the week, Dan Ward, who is Jerry Hollendorfer's assistant. But she fires every time.
It's unbelievable. There was a point where you had to wonder, gosh, is she going to get out? Is she in trouble?
Yeah.
And then as soon as she got out, there was no trouble.
There was no trouble. And, yeah, she's not racing against the best of the best every time. But a lot of new horses in there, a lot of new styles. And I don't know. She does the same thing every time. They straighten out for home. And guess what? She pushes the button. And I think she's, 12 for 13 since the claim? I mean, it's incredible.
It is. It's amazing. And it, as part of the corollary to Ms. Bad Behavior, even before we talk about some other stakes results, her little brother, one bad boy, the Baltus trainee that I talked about with Rich going back, I don't know, when was that? Whenever he came up and he ran into Omaha Beach in his second start, and he may get back to the dirt at some point, but Baltus had to run him. He said the race that he was looking for him, he wanted to go long with him, it wasn't materializing, and he said, I got to run this horse, and he was unbelievable, breaking his maiden in that mile turf event, and I you couldn't have been more impressed, and we'll see what happens with him and where he goes from here long term, because Baltus absolutely wants to do something with him potentially on the dirt. He doesn't want to just confine him to being a turf runner, but that was one of the most impressive performances, I thought, of the weekend. One bad boy, and Joel Rosario, when he jumped off, I said, what was that? And he says, his eyes kind of lit up. There was also a couple of notable performances to stay on the maiden and allowance front. Pletcher, of course, had a big weekend again, and he's on a bit of a roll. Disappointed without shine and over deliver in the wood. However, Life's a Parlay wins the Excelsior, Always Shopping in the Gazelle, and of course on Thursday Bulletin won the Palisades. But the horse I'm going to remind everybody of is that Intrepid Heart, who came back. Todd basically taking a conservative route with Intrepid Heart and took him to an allowance, and he was terrific. Didn't look like he was going to get there at the top of the stretch, and then kind of grounded out. Todd told you he's going allowance, Peter Pan, and Belmont with Intrepid Heart, and now you can really see why. Very impressive. Chad Brown had Honest Mischief in that maiden race on Saturday in the second race, and that may have gotten lost in the shuffle. A romping winner for Judmont and the Honest Lady son, 7/8, a 93 buyer, looked terrific. And so we'll look ahead to what's next for Honest Mischief. There was also, how about the two West Coast performers at Keeneland. Baltus breaks the maiden with Delmar May going 7/8. That was on Friday. And then the hardest way, Ron Ellis, if you didn't see the Uncle Mo allowance winner, a 103 buyer. It won't be facing allowance company next time.
Well, it's not abnormal to see our horses leave town here and go out there and do some good. A lot of good winners at Keeneland. You've seen Doug O'Neill at Oakland Park win some races here. So some of the allowance type horses, maidens and allowance type horses, have obviously left town. Maybe a couple weeks ago during the break here, when we weren't really sure
where things were going,
you're sitting on horses on go, and with meets like Keeneland and Oakland sitting out there, it's nowadays it's an easy ship to go. You know the races are going to go, and you got to strike while the iron's hot. So some of these performances are not unexpected, but very good.
Speaking of expected performances, we now expect James Scully to hit every Friday, and he did it again. First Premio at a little under 6-1 on Friday. How great was that?
That was great, because I had just walked in the door and I put the TVG on, and my wife's going, boy, you're watching a lot of races late. I said, well, yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing now. I got to keep track. Bix got me on the ball here. I gotta be sharp. Anyway, and they were coming on the track, and it was the two horse, and they had the name up there, and I went, wait a minute, I wrote that horse down as we were talking. And so I got a little bit of that action. That was pretty good.
Nice job.
That was another one. I think it was 8-1. When they're near the gate, poof, went off at 5-1. We take it, but it was good.
Also on Friday, and as we kind of skip around and give the highlights before we start talking to visitors, George Weaver is going to join us in a couple of minutes. That absolutely. That would be interesting. And we'll talk about that in a second. Hammer with a good idea. But How about Avi's Flatter for Josie Carroll? And the Ontario bred wins the Transylvania and certainly is going to be a factor heading toward the Queen's Plate. And the Baltus horse, One Bad Boy, he's an Ontario bred, and he could be steered, obviously, toward Queen's Plate as well. So there was some of that going on. New York, you know, speaking of the sprinters in that Ron Ellis performance, you had the two sprint efforts on Saturday, and World of Trouble gets his grade one win and now may immediately turn back to the grass from what Jason Service said and Michael Dubb. They may point now for the Jiper and put him back on the grass, but he got the grade one, and what in the son of Cantheros. You know, he didn't win it the way you would have thought either. He was behind horses, and then you know, then he kind of got the seam to move forward and turns back Skylar Scramjet, who ran very well. And Scramjet had kind of fishtailed a little bit, and he righted the ship. A nice performance there, and honor up as well, third. But Manny Franco with the grade one. And then earlier on the card, how about an acknowledgement for what Greg Sacco did, the decision to turn Mind Control back and focus on the one-turn opportunities. Mind Control, the Stay Thirsty with Johnny V, wins the Bayshore. So that plan absolutely worked. The other Sacco horse, that didn't work as well because Jovia created havoc in the wood, and Nick Juarez a little too aggressive trying to make the lead, and so we'll get everybody's thoughts on that. Andy Serling Andy's going to join us live Friday when we go to Oaklawn, and we'll get Andy's thoughts on all the races on Saturday at Aqueduct, and they had a nice crowd there too. And the Hammer had a great idea, because a lot of you probably on Friday you saw the news break after noon or so that the jocks out here have agreed, and they're with the whip situation, that they're going to ride whip free. And it's certainly intriguing, and what a pleasure to have Kim Sawyer from the steward stand. Kim, good morning.
Good morning.
What a pleasure. And Hammer noticed you down on the Palazzo, and what a great opportunity. This is going to be interesting. What do you think? What's the reaction?
Well, I think it could be a... Well, it is a good thing to maybe sample what it would be like to race without whips. I think solidifies the fact that none of them have whips, there can't be any whipping. The proposed rule says that they should carry a whip for safety, so it's going to be interesting. I think the Jockey Guild needs some feedback from jockeys, owners, trainers, gamblers. We have a meeting with the jockeys the day of the Friday morning before post time to make sure that they know that they're still expected to pursue a better placing, and everybody ride to the best of their ability.
Now, it's my understanding that the Jockeys Guild and the jockeys are the ones that brought this on, and I think it's probably a good idea at some point to figure out, hey, how's this going to work? And I don't know, but at the end, I'm sure they're going to sit down with each and every rider that was out there and get their opinion and, you know, hey, this is okay, or hey, you know, I'm not comfortable, you know, going up a rail, or who knows what it might be, but it's good to get discussion with the guys themselves that are going to be out there, and who knows, maybe they're all going to come back and say, no problem. I don't know what one day is going to do, but I think at least it's going to open the door for some discussion, which is great when you're making these major changes to go, talk to people.
Right. I think it's a good idea. It's kind of been a rushed process to try and do it on Friday. It would have been nice to have another week to get everything in place, but here we are.
Hey, Kim, a couple of questions in this whole vein. the adjustment, for instance, to the three strikes and wait for a response, and the concept of putting an obligation on the stewards to determine what is a correction and what would be, you know, the way this was originally floated, is it an undue obligation to and does it create more conflict and potential for controversy in the steward stand?
Of course it does, because it's still a gray area if we have to judge what is a chance to respond. But within the last 9 or 10 months, I think the chance to respond is the jockey has to flag a horse twice in between, change sticks, just do something different with their style, and then they can go back and do the three strikes.
And if, in fact, the way the original suggestion 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, whatever it was, you know, the idea that the horse could only the jocks could only carry the stick and use it for quote unquote safety and corrective measures of some kind, and that if they were to exhort the horse potentially to be not be disqualified, but to be potentially fined and sit down. Is this something that you guys even want to have to deal with? I mean, without any, you know, rope, for instance, with the officials' accreditation program, there's no set rules. There's no, I mean, a lot of it's just coming out of the ether. I mean, it's just being kind of foisted on everyone.
Right, and the proposed rule that's in place to become a rule is going to take at least 2 months, maybe 3 months, before it is actually implemented. So there's going to be a lot of discussion before then as to will we accept them hitting the horse with their hand? You know, if they have to, is it a safety factor to use the whip to slap them on the shoulder just to get them to go up in a tight spot? Of course, I think it's good to carry it for safety, like crossing the chute, going 3/4 of a mile, you're in the one hole, you're in a first-time starter.
That's a great point. Great point.
I mean, there are...
places and moments.
There are incidents.
Yeah.
That wouldn't take much use of the whip, but it would help prevent safety or maybe just ensure the outcome of the race to being more fair.
So you mentioned, Kim mentioned a couple months, and you've heard about the 45-day rule, which is in effect whether we want to paint the building green, we got to wait in 45 days of public comment to see if it's okay. And most of the time, how many public comments do we get in these things? Not many.
Not many.
So
this time we may.
Well, this time we may. Well, it's not, quote, just public comment. Not right now. You have the jocks out there. They're going to have they're going to gather some data on their own, and you're going to have some public comments. You're going to probably have some comments from trainers, which is healthy. And so although it's not used much, it's a good time to have this little calming period as opposed for rushing into. And I want to add, too, that what day is it today? It's Monday. What time is it? 6:37. And here's Kim, one of the three stewards here, out here talking to horsemen, getting a feel of what's going on. I'm sure asking questions probably regarding the whip, regarding other things that are going on here and changes going on here. So, you know, a very active environment here. Kim's a horsewoman from way back when. How long have you been in California now? 10, 12 years?
Well, I'm actually a native California.
I know, but as a steward.
I came back as a steward in 2005.
So 14 years here and been a mainstay here. But I just, you know, when people need to know that, you know, a steward doesn't show up at 5 minutes for the race in a coat and tie and, you know, hand the keys off to the valet and go upstairs and, you know, make sure that car's there about 5 minutes before the last race so they can get out of here. But some of that's true, but no. But anyway, they're the only ones that have a parking spot that doesn't say steward on it, so nobody knows who they are, so they can't wait by the car. But no, but seriously, I mean, but I just wanted, people need to know that here's Kim, she's out here gathering information for herself. So when she does make rulings and you know, someone might tell her about a certain horse or a certain situation that was a couple weeks ago, and they discuss it rather than just bring them in fresh into the office and, you know, reprimand them or whatever. So it's a very working relationship. The stewards are not in a bubble, so to speak, where they're untouchable and you can't go talk to them. So I'm sure the horsemen appreciate it, and then the fans need to know that this is an active continuation job. It's not a, you know, they're only here from 12 to 5 and go home.
No, I think we're all for the betterment of the industry and to do whatever we have to do to get there. I think we all want to participate.
It's funny. My friend Aaron Yagoda just sent a note likening this or wondering the way the two-year-old sales, the use of the stick in two-year-old sales, where you can't turn the whip over, just
you can't uncock your stick.
Yes, is that why? Why wouldn't that be a partial solution to letting the jocks have a tool at their disposal?
Well, the new proposed rule allows them to carry the whip, and if for safety factors, they could use it uncocked. Turned down is...
Now, speaking of that, new rules, what about the, I call it the Ramon Dominguez whip. I don't know if it has a certain name out
foam
there.
Stick. The foam stick.
The foam stick, one they're using in Keeneland. Has that been brought up here at all?
Ramon did...
He was here this weekend.
He was here. Well, he was here
for a couple board meetings ago.
And introduced the whip, the stick, the crop at that time. But, I mean, we're just in an environment where we have to maybe do some drastic moves to help make a better perception for the public to watch the sport.
I think it's the arm. It's the arm motion. That's what they want to eliminate, no matter how innocuous the implement is.
And I'm very glad to say that is for our commissioners, our powers to be to decide which way the new rule might go.
Well, great. Kim, appreciate this. The perfect opportunity. Looking forward to Friday. I think people are just. I think it'll just be a curiosity spectacle at the very least for people to see how the horses react. The issue is every horse is an individual, and there's plenty of horses that there's some that might respond better to no stick. There's some that won't respond to no stick. So it's.
I think you're going to find the horses that win are the ones that really. Are more competitive.
So
your lazier horses might get beat, but it's going to be interesting.
Hammer racing. This could be an opportunity. You could write races. For the conditions could include horses that are notoriously lazy.
I'm not writing races anymore, but that's not a bad idea.
Okay, can I excuse myself?
Of course, Kim, go ahead. They're so great. Kim Sawyer from the steward stand here, long time California
official. I told you it was
official.
A softball interview. Come on.
Too funny. No, that was a great.
It was one
just to have an opportunity to see what the expectation is.
But thank you they'll understand.
The stick.
They're here. All this stuff. They're not even up yet. Don't worry about it.
I love it. No, that was good.
Unbeknownst to myself, the other day I got a text about the in the morning. With the whips, and apparently they're carrying them in the morning, but they're
trying to ease their way in
just for encouragement. I mean, not encouragement, just correction and safety measures. And so I've been kind of watching. So down the lane, I haven't seen it in action. So.
Well, of course, don't forget that plenty of the morning riders are exercise riders too that are out here. Beyond the jocks, but at the same time, it's a great question to ask trainers. Are you having your exercise rider change things up from their normal activities? Well, we got an opportunity to get our first conversation in, and want to go to George Weaver, who wins the Bluegrass, and this is a great conversation because George to win a race like the Bluegrass means a lot. George, congratulations to you and Randy and Matt Gatsis and everybody.
Thank you, Jed. Yeah, the horse is special horse, and we're having so much fun. I can't tell you how much fun it was Saturday to watch this horse win for us, and that's why we're in the game, is to participate in races like this and get excited and looking forward to the Derby.
George, you know, you talk about how much fun when we combine, and really this whole story toward Churchill is going to include tax, and you know, you're going to be melded in with Danny Gargan, which nobody really wants, but the Randy Hill to have two horses in the Derby is I can't wait to talk to Randy because he's going to be one of the focus. I mean, yes, Gary and Mary West, they're going to have two, but Randy Hill, he will be the master of ceremonies among owners for the Derby.
Well, he's been practicing living this moment for a long time, so I think he'll pass with flying colors, man. He's on cloud nine. Hell, he was on cloud nine even before we ran the other day. He's just, you know, the excitement going into it, and you know, he really loves the game, and he's bought horses year in, year out, gone to auctions. He puts up his money, and he loves to play the game. He enjoys it, even, you know, and he enjoys winning a maiden claiming race too. You know what I mean? There's no, he's a very lively guy, and he enjoys it.
Well, loyal owner, and you guys have been a mainstay. And this Candy Ride colt, who's a May foal, couple of May foals that keep coming to the fore, which is interesting. And you got to answer everybody's question, George, first, and explain his action, because, you know, there's plenty of horses that compensate for towing out or towing in and so forth. But explain the basic left leg, and it feels like watching him, the legs are going in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, you know, the horse is pretty correct. You watch, you know, we wouldn't have bought him if he was that incorrect. He's a good walking horse, and he walks straight to you. You wouldn't guess watching him walk that he would do that. You know, I think he's probably just comes out of his shoulders like that. That's just, you know, he just kind of swings through his shoulders. But he's a sound horse, and has never had a problem. That's just the way he moves. He's got, Steve Venosa, a friend of mine, and participated in buying a horse, helped me pick him out. He called them helicopter blades, so that's what we say. You see them helicopter blades coming at you. But I'm not too concerned about it. The horse is a runner. You know what I mean? That's just the way he moves, and luckily he knows how to move fast.
I love it. Rick Hammerly's with me, George.
Hey, George.
Rick, how you doing?
Great. Congratulations.
I was just thinking, you better get a nice stock answer for that. You're going to be asked that about 1,000 times between now and Derby Day, right? But yeah, congratulations on that. That's fantastic. I mean, you know, another guy, George, we've known each other for a long time, and it's great to see you step up and hit one out of the park. Hey, quick question. After the Fountain of Youth, was there a big decision, or was automatic where you were gonna go next? Meaning the bluegrass.
No. We switched gears to the bluegrass probably. You know, obviously the focus on everything gets tighter and tighter the closer you get to the race. And, you know, I thought the extra week would benefit the horse with the big race off the layoff. And quite frankly, the bluegrass was coming up an easier race on paper. Now, you don't know, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You know, they ran a good fig in the Florida Derby, and the horse walked the dog in the front end. You know, maybe we would have been up there. Maybe I would have won a Florida Derby as well. I don't know. But going into it, it looked like the bluegrass was a little bit of a soft spot, and we were in a position where, if we wanted to have a chance to run in the Derby, we needed to, this last prep we had to be right in order to get points to get in the race. So it was just a matter of handicapping the different races, and you know, you take that along with the fact that I thought an extra week might help them. It was kind of a no-brainer, you know. And when they had the post position draw, and we're 9-5 favorite. I was like, well, we did the right thing.
Absolutely, and you had to be delighted when you saw the 14-horse field and the you were actually the real two. There was a bunch of twos out there with the saddle cloths. You were the real two. And
That's right.
So you had to be thrilled with that, and we discussed it here, and we thought, as you did, that you did look 9-5 in there. And performed well. I tell you, it's great. It's just so, it's fun. It's fun when you have people you like going to the Derby, and it's going to be great to see you there. And I tell you, you got the look. You got the look. You look very cool, calm, and collected on TV the other day.
Well, luckily, I tell you, hopefully some of the Wayne Lucas and Todd Rudge rubbed off on me from all those years. Those two guys knows how to do it.
Well, they taught you well, and boy, you learned well. And you know, this isn't your first big horse, as we were talking about last week. You've had a few good ones, but this one's gonna put you right up there in the spotlight, and it's fantastic. And it's not you're going in there with a 25-1 shot. This is your home. Now, what do you plan? Now, what will you do with him between now and the Derby? Will you stay at Keeneland for a while and then ship over the week of? There's all kinds of different styles how people.
You know, I'm gonna. He's in Kentucky, so there's a little bit of a tendency to think, well, maybe we should just leave him there. But I'm going to thought about it. You know, the 24 hours following the race, we're going to fly the horse back to Florida tomorrow and prepare for the Derby here. He knows this track. My wife's been getting on him all winter. And, you know, the logistics, it's just the best way to go for me. I feel like that gives us our best chance to win. I mean, I don't believe Justify worked over the Churchill Strip last year. I don't think Doug O'Neill's Derby winners worked over the Strip. I think, there's been plenty of horses that didn't need to work over the Strip. And you're trying to weigh the pros and cons, and after thinking about it, I'm going to fall back on what got us to the Bluegrass in the first place. He seemed to ship well up there, so hopefully we'll complete our work here and be happy, and we'll put him on the plane 5 or 6 days out and see what happens.
And, of course, the here being Palm Beach Downs. And, you know, George, this will be your second Derby starter. We think back to Ten Sender. Any learning from that experience that will come into play here?
Well, Ten Sender didn't get a chance to, you know, he wasn't, he didn't run well that day, but that wasn't him. He was a much better horse than he ran. It just wasn't his day. I don't know if he didn't handle the track or whatnot, but, you know, I'm from Louisville, and it was fun being there. You know, technically being from Wayne's barn and Todd's barn, we've done it. It's obviously a little different when you're on your own, but, you know, we've kind of been there and know what to do. You really don't change anything. And each horse is, each horse is an individual. And that horse I took in there, and, you know, we got to work over the track, and it was a good work. But, you know, I thought he was a little dull the next day after that work and whatever. So, you know, I guess that kind of gives me reinforcement that it's going to be okay to train down here and go up there. You know, keep the horse in his environment, keep him in the same program that led us to the Bluegrass.
Well, you know, you're looking at his PPs in his four races is fairly typical for a horseback east. Four starts, four different tracks. So it doesn't sound like he needs to be, at the track that he's necessarily running at. So and you're at Palmettos.
No, Palm Beach now.
Palm Beach. So, meaning you're not at the racetrack.
Quiet.
It's nice and quiet. You do what you want, when you want. You're not under any stress of just being at the racetrack. So if that's what he's used to and he's back home, it's good a move. Got to do what's right. Sounds like you've got everything. It's those last-minute decisions that if you don't have a plan that seem to go awry. He seems like you got a plan, and he's going to be ready first week of May.
You know, and George, I just was looking up his birthday. Not only is he a May foal, May 22nd. So
he's a late May baby. I think I saw the other day that the Shug's horse is a May 23rd baby. I think so. I'm not 100% sure that code of honor.
How about that?
I think that horse is a late May baby too. But this horse, you know, I think it all worked out that we were able to get a break in him last year. You know what I mean? I could tell after the National, I was like, man, if we don't try to give him a break here, we might be. You know, we might pay the price. I don't want to fizzle out in the spring. You know, the 3-year-old campaign is a big deal for these horses, and I knew that we had a special colt. So, you know, everything's worked out the plan so far, and the horse, you know, the horse earned us a trip over to Louisville.
It doesn't appear you're going to have a jock problem, right?
Yeah, I was just going to let the dust settle and touch base with John Panagat and see where we stand with Javier. I don't really see any conflicts of interest, but, you know, I think everybody, you know, we just let the, you know, let everything come back to earth, and then we'll, you know, this week we'll be firming up stuff. If there's a problem, we'll probably go back to Manny, but we'll be making those phone calls. I assume, I don't really, Javier might back something up for Todd, but I think Todd's got, his guys are probably covered, right?
Yeah, I was just looking at him right now. That's why I mentioned it. It doesn't look like he's too conflicted. And you know what?
I know Javier likes the horse a lot, and obviously, you know, he just worked him once and ridden him in the race to one time. But I would imagine that he would stay put. But then again, he's a high demand jockey in the Derby. There's only one Derby every year, so I'm sure he's going to make sure that make sure he commits when he feels like that's the best horse he can get.
George, certainly going to be a fun run up into Derby week. We talked about Randy and Matt Gatsis, and of course Randy involved with Danny Gargan's horse Dax, and the Reeves, another visitor to the box. You guys are going to have to get the adjoining box at Saratoga, because the fun bunch, it just keeps getting bigger.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a spot up there. We're all kind of like it's like family, but the clan's getting bigger. There's more and more people, so it's getting more and more fun.
Absolutely, and Dean and Patty all excited to come along on the ride with Tax. So can't wait. Let me ask you, George, before we go, you got a first-time starter coming up later in the week. Terralucci in New York, the New York bred by Lemon Drop Kid. Talk about the firster.
Yeah, she's trained well. You know, she went through a little phase in the middle of the winter. I thought she was going to be okay in the dirt. She went through a little phase where her work got tailed off, so I gave her a little pause in the action. And now we got her, you know, now we've tightened the screws, and we're getting a chance to get on the grass, hopefully. So if it's on the grass, I think she'll do real well. And maybe, if it comes off and it's a sloppy shield track, she might handle that too. But she's a quick filly, and I like her. I think she's going to run well.
Also from Saturday, for a second, in the Commonwealth, Majestic Dunhill, where do you go from here?
I guess I'll look at the Church of Down Stakes over there. I mean, that was a crying shame. That horse was training so well going into that race. On paper, all I need him to do is do what they're supposed to do, which is go 22-44 and change, and he was going to come rolling. I mean, I don't know how they went 22-88 and 46-30. I don't know how that happened, but it did. And just, you know, he's unfortunately his best way of running is to be a closer, and so we need a race with some pace in it. I might run him in the Churchill Downs over there, but he's got a big race with his name on it. There's no doubt in my mind. He's really stepped up his game.
Let me also ask you about the filly going back to last Saturday at Gulfstream, and you had to be a little disappointed with Point of Honor. What was the postscript to that performance?
You know, the filly, I thought watching the race that maybe she wasn't quite as much on the bridle, but she had a little bit of adversity there. When they went in, I mean, it was a short field, but when they went in the first turn, Javier was kind of in between horses, got a little tight, she got some dirt in the face, so it wasn't that sweet trip, you know, perched right there on the outside, ready to do something. And then, you know, at the end of the day, the track on Florida Derby Day, that's just the way it was. It was like a conveyor belt. And I'm not taking away any credit to the horses that won that day, you know. But in the Gulfstream Park Oaks, those three fillies, they just ran 1, 2, 3 around there.
Yep.
Little filly passed one in the stretch, but, they just kept going. There wasn't. Really didn't fit our style, and then you got the short wire there. So it looked like to me she was just starting to pick up steam right as they hit the wire, and we were only beating 2 lengths. I'm really not that disappointed in her. She lightly raced as well. She didn't quite show that electric move that she had in her maiden race in the race at Tampa. But at the same time, we're going to point her to the Oaks. If we can get in, we'll run. I know we don't if the race over fills, we're probably going to be on the bubble, but if there's any chance that we can get in, we'll run her. The filly came out of the race real well, and she deserves a chance. She'll go as, you know, the further the better for her, and you know, at Churchill they've got that long stretch. So I'm really not disappointed in her. The only thing I'm disappointed in is, you know, the fact that we might not have enough points to get in. But I wasn't that disappointed in the effort. I think the track was just playing like a merry-go-round, and it just took us off our game a little bit.
Well, and I'm just wanted to check. She's sitting with 20 points, and right now she's got, well, Oxy Lady is running, and you got some horses running in the Fantasy on Friday. You don't know, though. I mean, the Oaks is funny. They kind of fall by the wayside, and there are a couple of horses with question marks as to whether they're going forward or not. So there's still a chance, and either way, you got plenty of 3-year-old restricted opportunities as the spring goes the summer.
2 weeks later, yeah.
There you go.
Black Eyed Susan is 2 weeks later, and then some of the big races in New York. I'm sure she'll be participating in them. She's going to be. She's lightly racing. She is a good filly. She's got much better days ahead of her. And if we get to run the Oaks, that's fantastic. If we don't, there's going to be opportunities down the road for her.
Well, George Weaver taking advantage of opportunities, including with Vekoma, who wins the Bluegrass. Terrific addition to George's ever-growing resume of accomplishment. And we're going to have a lot of fun when we get to Louisville, George's hometown. George, safe travels for everybody, horse and human connections, and we will see you in Louisville.
Way to go, appreciate George. It, guys. Thanks for having me on the show, man. It's going to be a good time.
Always. George Weaver, one of the most underrated and, for whatever reason, perennially, kind of, maybe because he's quiet, and unless you get to know him, then he's not quiet.
Well, that's true. But the Derby's going to put him on center stage.
Absolutely.
And they'll know George Weaver the second Saturday in May, for sure, one way or another.
Well, George, I mentioned Tensender, which was Phil Bursch's New York bred, and that was a great thrill for Phil, who, of course, is the publisher of Playbill on Broadway. And I loved Tensender coming in, and it didn't go well for him. And he actually ended up shortening his career, frankly. But that was fun. It was fun to be around George and the team for Derby. That was 2015. So,
well, speaking of Playbill and writers and directors, and who'd you meet last night? You met one of your idols last
Nuts.
Night.
Just crazy last night. We'll go to the break. Johnny D with us next, but last night we had dinner. We met John Parada and Maggie at in Brentwood, and sitting at the table next to us, one of those circular tables, there's a group, and there's an older, much older man who was kind of silhouetted.
Well, there was an older man and a much older man.
And the much older man turns out to be Norman Lloyd, who, for those of you who ever watched St. Elsewhere, and for those of you that loved Dead Poets Society as tortured as it is, an actor of great renown, and his role as Dr. Auslander on St. Elsewhere, one of the key roles, and he's 104 years old. And it was unbelievable. I was so excited to meet him, and he was the whole restaurant. Once they, because he was in the corner, and once he got up and people realized who it was, he basically greeted every table going out, and he was Charlie Chaplin's best man at one of Chaplin, I think one of Chaplin, or maybe more than one of Chaplin's four marriages, but he was one of Charlie Chaplin's best friends, and I just was tickled beyond description to meet him.
It's a normal occurrence here in town,
I guess,
so it's
right?
Not that, for us, it's not that big of a deal, but you'll never see a more animated 104-year-old gentleman walking out of a restaurant, literally shaking hands and talking and how is it, everybody, what's going on over here. It was great. So anyway, just you just come out to California, you meet a star or two, all this stuff happens to you.
I've only had a handful of those kinds of experiences. I met Joe Montana, ran into him at the Fairmont in San Francisco, and Brian Keith sat down next to me in an airport lounge. It was hysterical.
Family affair.
Well,
going way back.
The chair moved, and I looked over, and I said, "Brian Keith." He said, "Yeah." It was pretty funny. Mr. T. Met Mr. T in an airport at O'Hare.
There you go.
I got a couple others, actually. Catherine Hepburn.
You never know. Mr. T might have gone home and say, "Hey, I met Steve."
Yeah, let's not get carried away. Back to take a break. Johnny D's going to join us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.